What a month. We're back. Detroit, I got to tell you, this is the best time in Detroit right now. You walk down here and you see people all over the place walking. It's beautiful. It's exciting to be here, but I got to tell you, we got a great lineup tonight. Someone that is a hero to me, someone that I think is one of the best prosecutors in our country. She runs the perhaps one of the busiest prosecutor's office around the country. We're excited to have Kim Worthy come up with the first guest, and we'll be right back just after this. Well, I could go on for hours. We don't have enough time to talk about the next guest coming up. Kim Worthy is someone that I admire. I've been watching since I came into the legal field, someone that I've worked with and someone I've appeared before when she was a judge. Someone that I think, candidly, doesn't really, to the extent that we have prosecutors around the country, someone that she is beyond reproach, in essence. And Judge, I call you Judge because I've been in front of you as a judge, but Prosecutor Worthy, thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. My
I
pleasure.
got to tell you, I speak every time I come in, there's a little transition, and Lomas Brown. And I always kick it for a minute or two. And he's a big fan of yours. He's going to be out, I think, tomorrow at the Detroit Service Academy. And he said to tell you hello. And a big fan of yours as well. So,
You know, it's interesting. A service academy is going to, but that actually is a school that one of my twins goes to.
oh, well, he's a proud supporter and is putting a program out there tomorrow. So. He
Good.
gives
All right.
he gives you your his regards. So I got to tell you, how long have you been in the chair as the Wayne County prosecutor? How long have you been there?
You know, I was appointed back in December of 2003, so I actually started in early January 6th, as a matter of fact, 2004. So this is my 20th year. It doesn't seem like that much time, but when I go back and think about everything that we've done and everything that we've been through, trials and tribulations, then yeah, it does seem like it's been 20 years. But I have to tell you, I really have always been passionate about this job. It's a job that I coveted before when I was simply an assistant. You know how you sit around with your colleagues and you think, oh, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to be the Wayne County prosecutor one day. Of course, I'd been a prosecutor for maybe 5 years at that point. But I've never lost the passion for this job. There have been some extremely difficult days. But even then, I know that I'm going to come out on the other side and that, you know, we're going to be able to deliver the services that we need to deliver. So there's always challenges, always, always, always. But I actually spend time thinking about with our wonderful staff about how we're going to meet these challenges. And we're pretty good at predicting or forecasting what we think may happen. And we try to get ready for things that way as well.
That's well, yeah, obviously, you got a dashboard that kind of puts things out in the future of what changes are coming and how law enforcement's changing and the like. You know, just to give a little history, you were an assistant prosecutor, and you probably know this or may not know this. I actually, when I was clerking, I don't know how many years ago, I would go watch you try the homicide cases. It was between you and Lisa, and you know, I mean, Lisa Lindsay, who you know, I love dearly. But I would go watch you two go at it, and of course, Augie. And I could sit back and have like Red Pop and popcorn and just watch. I mean, and you learn so much. Young
Yes,
lawyers don't realize, you
you
know.
do. It's so funny you should say that because, as you know, our dear friend, you know, may he rest in peace, Augustus Fudding, Augie, we called him affectionately. And I used to go watch him when I started. And him and Paul Bruno and Rich Cunningham and some others that were just kind of iconic in the
Right.
prosecutor's office at that time, but probably Augie was the most iconic, at least one of them.
He was one of them,
And
for
he was
sure.
one that I would go watch. You know, I would finish my docket in the morning, you know, or in the afternoon, and then I would put off the work I had to do and go watch people in court that I admired because I wanted to be the best. And then of course, I got to spend hours and hours after the court closed catching up on what I should have been doing that afternoon. But I remember when you were a brand new newbie when you came as an intern. I
Yes.
remember it distinctly. And I remember seeing you, but what my deepest memory is with you with Augie all the time, or you with Lisa all the time.
Yeah. Well, two of the best.
Yeah. And Lisa's still in the office doing cases. I've tried to get her to be a manager, and she just wants to do cases, grinding them out over 20 years, 30 years now.
She's in the Coliseum every day. So much. Yeah. Yeah. So now, as you've then you went from the prosecutor's office and you sat on the bench, and I'll never forget. It was, I think, Mark Brown and Sharon Woodside, I think.
I remember that.
And I got to tell you, I was never so intimidated in my entire life, because here I am sitting and, trying this two-defendant jury trial in front of you, and I was like, oh, boy, because I looked up to you, and I still do, and I was thinking to myself, I can't make a mistake here.
Well, you know what? I don't remember specific. I remember Sharon, I remember Mark and you, but if you were feeling that way, it didn't show, so that was good. I don't know if I was among your first number of jury trials, but I do remember you being in the courtroom that first time.
Yeah.
It was a good experience, I think. And I thought, at that time, I said, okay, this is someone that should be a career prosecutor. Of course, you've gone on to do big, big things.
Well.
But I remember thinking that when I first saw you. So, we all, and you're a person that remembers your roots. You never forget where you came from. You never forget Amen. Who helped you along the way. And I wish a lot more people would be like that.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. And I want to talk about your forecast and what great accomplishments you've done in the prosecutor's office, what challenges you have coming up, and the excitement and the things that you're looking forward to. So stay with us. We'll be right back just after this. We're back. We have with us Kim Worthy, the Wayne County prosecutor, perhaps one of the best, if not the best prosecutor in our country. It runs one of the biggest departments, prosecutor's office, I think, around. Just with the caseload in and of itself. Judge Worthy, I would be remiss if I didn't mention someone that I think was near and dear and a pillar to the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice. Mizell Soul Jr. passed, and he was someone you knew, and to all the people that knew him out there that listened from Frank Murphy and Wayne County, our hearts go out to the family and Gerald Evelyn, who was basically Mike's brother. So,
I was at the graduation event, and Gerald called me, and he called me a couple of times. And I thought that was unusual. We talk frequently, but he really calls. It's usually me calling him, and so I called back, and I looked at my phone, and I saw the announcement for Mizell. Let me just tell you, as we began to make our transition into our new criminal justice facility. We're moving out of the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice and into a facility with the sheriff, the criminal court rooms, and also our office. And it seems, Todd, I don't know about to you, that all the iconic people that were around when we were just beginning our careers are beginning to die off. And Mizell was the son of a very prominent, the namesake of a very prominent lawyer that had been around, a civil rights activist, myself, the Soul Senior, who died several years back. And just iconic. Yeah. And then, of course, Gerald Evelyn that you spoke of, and Mike, as he was known, died recently. And, it's just one by one, the people that we knew and loved and looked up to who were kind of the backbone of the court at the time.
Yeah.
Especially when the Recorder's Court just seemed to be going. So I'll be going to the family hour tomorrow. Friday.
And
the funeral
too.
On Saturday.
Yes.
But thank you for bringing that up, because he is someone to be celebrated. He was a court clerk, but he was really a man of the court who knew everybody. Mm. Everybody knew him. He was highly, highly respected.
Oh, so much. And, so much. Yeah. I was assigned to Judge Crockett's courtroom as a prosecutor, and I don't think I would have survived without Mike.
Yeah. We all know the history of the Crockett judges and his father and son. And so just it doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't. So, you have been sitting in the chair as the prosecutor for over 20 years, 20 years coming up. Tell me, what are the things that you think about as you reflect some of the biggest accomplishments, the beginning to now, and then what do you see as the biggest challenges going forward?
One of the biggest, and it's going to surprise you because I'm sure the rape kits are big, and that some of the prosecutors, some of the people we prosecuted, the beginning of our conviction integrity unit, I'd love to come back and talk about that. And, I think that one of the biggest things I'm proud of is when I first started back in 2004, I had been a judge and an assistant before that, as you mentioned, and I wanted to change the direction of how we looked at crime in Wayne County. And I really wanted to focus on diversion programs, and nobody was doing that back then. And nobody was saying that we wanted to look at the root causes of crime, and we wanted to look at not prosecuting those that we deserved to have a second, that deserved a second chance, and not battling them later on with a record, even if they were guilty. We wanted to make sure that we gave them a second chance. Of course, we're not talking about violent crime, of course.
Right.
Lower level crime. And, those are the things that can add up, and those are the crimes that can stop you from getting a job and moving forward and all kinds of things. So we did that. And we did that very early on. And we did an adult court. That wasn't an original program. John O'Hare was doing that before, the prosecutor before my successor. But we expanded it. At some point, we had about 14 different diversion programs, from, a juvenile domestic violence program where we tried to not only make people responsible for what they did, but give them training and services so they wouldn't then traverse the bridge into adult battering. And we did the same thing with sexual offenders. And so we even did some of it with young violent offenders because of the way the juvenile system is structured. We had two truancy programs. Mm. We had a teen court program. We had where we train young people to be jurors who actually decide on the fate of their fellow teens who may get in trouble, truly a jury of their peer. And then we had, now we have the mental health program, but we had those programs back in the day when nobody was really doing it. And I was ostracized at the time. I'll never forget a headline in the Detroit News above the fold, large letters, saying Kim Worthy soft on crime. And that certainly wasn't my reputation, but it was because I believed that we should look at the root cause of the crime and we should give people second chances. And so now everybody's doing that. People, I'm not considered to be a progressive prosecutor, but, progressive prosecutors, I think I am, but that's not what my reputation is. But progressive prosecutors all over the country are copying these programs that we've been doing for 20 years.
I can't tell you how great that program is. I still have clients today. And I had cases as a prosecutor where people got the second chance where they wouldn't have got the second chance in other jurisdictions, and have made just great success stories. That program should be, some of the definitions in their pictures of people that define that in the dictionary. That's important.
And you're right about that. And like I said, we've been doing that for 20 years. And in fact, let me just give you the statistic, because we've been looking at this. We have diverted from the criminal justice system over 25,000 youth and adults over the last 20 years, over 25,000 with our diversion program.
Wow.
And so, again, when people attack us and that's what I signed up for, that's okay. Yeah. But I also want to know that we have turned that many people from having a record and going back into a life of crime. Now, we can't measure a negative. We can't tell you how many people, because of the diversion programs, have not reoffended, because we don't know what those numbers are, because we don't see them, thankfully.
Right.
But we can tell you, especially with our juvenile programs, some we still have, some that we don't enforce, some that we lost the funding, some that we want to bring back. But we can tell you the recidivism rate for our juvenile defendants were very, very low. Very low.
That's awesome.
When we had programming. So it's something that I'm going to continue to do. It's something that I strongly believe them always have since 2004, and something that we will continue until I'm no longer in the chair, as you say.
Yeah. Well, I think it merits mention that I think there's so many great success stories we don't know about. But I know firsthand how you have allowed people to turn their lives around and become contributors in a positive way to our society. So my hat's off to you. So what do you see in the future? We have limited time, but what do you see in the future as some of the bigger challenges you're facing now?
Well, we're still challenged today with hiring people, although we're doing a lot better. We're bringing in a lot of new prosecutors. The challenge for us is bringing in prosecutors to work in Wayne County who are experienced.
Right.
They can step into a courtroom right away and do a homicide or a criminal sexual conduct case or an armed robbery or a child abuse case. So that's what we're really reaching out, and we really have a very robust a recruitment and retention program. So that's one of our biggest challenges right now. We the assistants and people on the staff are making money that I think is more commensurate with what they should be. The CEO and the commission have been very supportive of that, so I want to give them all credit. We have worked on the union contracts. We're still working on some of the unions in our office to make sure they get the raises that they deserve. So those are the things that are challenging. And also, you know, the crime is more violent now, and there's some very deep challenges that we can spend time talking about at a later time. But I just want to talk in our remaining, if you don't mind, about a program that's going to launch very soon. This is something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I call it the community court. And what we finally got the funding for it. So what we're going to be doing is picking three locations in Wayne County, two in Detroit and one out county, or maybe one in Detroit and two out county. And we're going to pick certain communities. Let's just hypothetically say Indian Village. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take citizens from Indian Village, train them in certain aspects of the law. So let's say that a big problem in Indian Village, just an example, this is a hypothetical, is auto theft. And we catch people who are breaking into cars, for example.
Sure.
And so what we want to do is train those community members to basically sit as a sentencing court for them. And it was with the help of the judge as well.
Sure.
So the person abused that community by stealing cars, and we want them to give back to the community. And the community will decide, the community members that we select and train will decide what the sentence will be. Not jail or prison, but maybe they have to cut the grass of the seniors that live in the neighborhood. Maybe they have to be responsible for removing tires or fixing the playground, painting playgrounds, cutting grass, snow removal. Anything that's going to help that community be brought back to where they should be. And so we think that that's a direct result of what they've done to the community by stealing the cars of the people who live there and by fixing the ills and helping fix the ills of the community as their sentence instead of jail or prison.
I love it.
Yeah.
Judge, if you don't mind, we'd love to check back with you on the program.
Sure.
Just to check in, and you're such a pleasure to talk with, and I think everybody benefits from listening to you and hearing these programs. Would you come back another time?
Of course I will. Anything for you.
Thank you so much. Be well.
You're very welcome.
So we'll be right back, and we got a candidate running for judge, Nicole Kaska, coming on next. And after that, we got Todd Perkins and perhaps Ven Johnson. We'll be right back just after this. Well, I got to tell you, having Kim Worthing on and getting her on a regular basis is truly a treat. She is I can't tell you how much she does, how many cases come through Wayne County. It's truly a pleasure having her on. But even more so that she's going to come on a regular basis, just kind of give us updates. And the big move, they're making a move down the street, and I think the technology in the move is going to be great because they're going from an antiquated building to a building that is going to be up to date. So I'm excited for that. The next guest we have coming on is Nicole Kaska. Nicole is, you know, she's a pillar at Frank Murphy and in the criminal justice system. She's someone that's been practicing law for, I don't know, she'll tell us, but many years. And one thing that we are missing oftentimes on the bench is institutional knowledge. And Nicole is someone I am endorsing. People always ask, who do I vote for judge? Who should be the next judge? Because they don't hear about the candidates, not out there. And it's one of the most important, if not the important, thing you should vote for and have knowledge about. And I'm excited to have Nicole on. Nicole, you with us?
I am, Todd. Hi. Hello, everybody out there. This is amazing. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure, Nicole. My pleasure. So you're tell us a little bit for all the listeners in the state of Michigan and around the Midwest. Tell us a little bit about your history. How many years have you been practicing law?
27 years. It'll be 28 years at the end of October this year.
Wow. Wow. So I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And I know I can't count how many trials I've had. I'm on fumes right now because I'm preparing for a 7-week jury trial in federal court. But I can't imagine how many trials you've had in your 27 years. It's have you ever kept count?
Actually, my husband, he likes to joke. He's not a lawyer, but he's like, how many have you prepped? How many have actually gone? And I was a public defender for the first 7 years of my career at the defender's office in Detroit. And then I went to private practice, and I've always done criminal defense. I've always been a trial lawyer, you know, traffic up through homicide and everything in between. And we're over the 1,000 mark easily, just because those first 7 years as a public defender, sometimes there's two jury trials a week,
right.
Let alone, I mean, it was a very, and we didn't have the staff like they have now or the resources, and it was a grueling, I mean, it was a very grueling schedule, but it was rewarding because you really got to cut your teeth, and
right.
You had to know the law. You had to really, really be advocating for your clients, but also have that prep work in. It's all that beginning prep work that starts when you first get the file. And I've never done anything else. And it's been rewarding, challenging for sure. But it's been so rewarding, and it's just, I couldn't imagine not being a trial lawyer. I couldn't imagine not being a criminal defense lawyer. I think it's important because I'm a big advocate for the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
No question about it. Yeah.
And we see what's been happening with it. And so I want to be able to bring that to the bench. I argue those motions. I file those motions and argue them effectively. And, you know, we need, just as you were saying in the opening, to have the institutional knowledge and have been practicing. I am the candidate that has been doing that in this race. And I think it's important because I've been in Wayne County, and that's where my practice is. That's where my office is in downtown Detroit. And I think it's important to have folks that have been in the county. The judges know, the prosecutors know, the other defense attorneys know, because that seat is staying in the criminal division. That's where the open seat is this year. It's Judge Deborah Thomas's seat,
right.
Who is endorsing me. She's my mentor, and she endorses me.
Well, there
she should
go.
Be listening right now, I hope. Yeah. That's, I think it's important. And I'm really glad that you touched on that point, because that has been played down that that's not an important piece, but it is a very important piece.
Yeah. When you think about it, there's so many judges that haven't tried a case here. You know, when I go into a courtroom and I'm going to try a case, it's really helpful. It's really helpful if the trial judge has tried cases. They know the rules of evidence. They know the procedure. It's staggering to me. And, you know, here you sit after over the 1,000 mark. People can't quantify that. And you know what's great? And I say this with all sincerity. And I've been and I lived. I cut my teeth in the building as well. I did the mm-hmm. prosecutor's gig. And I remember those days where you were given a file. One jury was just out deliberating and you were given the file to go try the next one. You did that. And the defender said that the thing about it is, everybody can hear something. It's the passion in your voice and the care, because there's so many people that don't, you know, that have been doing it for so long or whatever the case may be. You know, the biggest asset I can tell is passion, and you actually care about the gig. And it's really, really important as we go to the next steps. How many judges are in Frank Murphy? Do you know?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we're missing two AOI judges. And we're also down. We're supposed to have another. So, gosh, that's a really great question, because if I go floor by floor, and plus we have someone still out on medical. Gosh, and we've got Judge Michael Hathaway subbing.
Yeah. So I think there's like 33 right now. That's my
33. But we're missing at least three seats.
Yeah. So your seat is going to be staying in the criminal division over at Frank Murphy. But Wayne County,
yes.
All of Wayne
yes.
County. Votes
yes.
on this seat, and I got to tell you. So, and we don't have much time, but how many judges are running for this particular seat that you're going for?
there's two, well, now there's two other folks that are running for the position. One is a referee in family court in Washtenaw County. And the other candidate is, he's got offices in Livonia, does maybe some district court work out that way. Has not came over to here. So those are two candidates that we haven't seen over at Frank Murphy at all on a regular basis, or even practicing or doing trials or anything.
So that's it. Right.
Yeah. And there's me. Excuse me. And then there's me. Yeah.
And there's you. And I mean, head and shoulders, because obviously the experience, and you've seen it all. I mean, there hasn't been anything from, you know, a traffic ticket to a homicide to a double homicide. You've seen it all. What is it that you think? Well, two things, and we only have a minute left. But one, the biggest challenges coming up with regards to the bench, and two, I'm excited to the extent that the new technology and the transfer. I'm not necessarily excited about transferring from one building to the next, but I'm excited about the new transfer as far as technology and updating everything into the new building that the Recorder's Court, if the old Recorder's Court, but Frank Murphy is moving to. So what do you see as about the biggest challenges, and two, about the move?
Well, hopefully the elevators are going to work instead of just having one that works.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what we're all hoping for. But I think the biggest challenge is that they were going to be paperless. And so we don't have a storage system for files, which in criminal court, I don't know. I think that's going to be a big challenge because we have orders that have to get sent over to Dickerson and all that. We just don't know how that's going to fester out. So I think that's going to be an issue.
All right. Well, listen, you have my backing. I've watched you and I've been impressed with you ever since I met you. So I'm excited to endorse you, and Godspeed to doing everything you got to do to get on the bench.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me on. And thank you, everybody.
All right.
Many blessings.
We'll be back. That was Nicole Kaska. We'll be back right after this. So we're back. We've had two stellar guests tonight. We had, obviously, Kim Worthy, Wayne County Prosecutor. We had Nicole Kaska. And it's always something to me when people have no clue who they're voting for as it relates to our bench, whether it's a district court or circuit court or court of appeals or Supreme Court in the state of Michigan. It's really, really important. If not one of the most important positions in our counties and in our cities, because the judges have so much power and can, you know, if you don't have the right person in there, you can see a lot of disruption for a period of time. And it's difficult. It's difficult on everybody. So I'm excited that Nicole is running, but there's going to be plenty of open seats, I think, coming up in the next cycle. So, and the next guest we have on, you've heard this man before. He's a dear friend, a great lawyer, one of the best lawyers, and someone that can walk, across lines with so many different places, but whether it's Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. We have Todd Perkins back. My man, Todd, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man, how are you doing, brother?
I got to tell you, I'm on fumes. I start a trial relatively soon here, coming up in federal court, and you know what that's like. It's you're in the grinder, writing motions in limine. That for everyone, that's just motions that come up before trial to exclude or include evidence, or to tell the government that they want to put something in that they're crazy about trying to put something in. You know. So I'm in that grind mode that starts in the early portion of June.
Well, what people don't seem to realize is that once the trial starts, it's a sense of relief, you know, because, you know, you're in the midst of it. And, you know, at that point, the real work is before the trial even starts.
Right.
So I know where you're at. I know, you know, the stress that you're under and, you know, the time crunches that you're under, because life doesn't stop. I mean, you still have to manage that. And, you know, that becomes the ultimate, you know, and, you know, then the penultimate becomes, you know, the other clients. You don't let your other clients suffer either.
Right.
You know, you have to step it up. You know, like, you know, extra cup of coffee.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to say something about this judges and how people are so unfamiliar with whom they're about whom they're voting when it's a judicial candidate. And I go back and, you know, I'm not so old that I can't remember when I was 18 or when I was 22 or 20, because I've never missed a voting cycle, even though I went out of school out of state. But I know what it was like not being a lawyer and the ignorance of selecting a judicial candidate. And I remember what I used to do. I'm ashamed as a lawyer today to say that I did it. But I think a lot of people do this, is that they vote for the people whose name have judge on them. And then if they might have heard someone in the media or something in some, right. Recommendation, they're going to select that because, you know, we don't have enough proliferation of information about judicial candidates. You know, we see so much about, you know, your congressperson, your even city council, you see more in the media, you know, and a lot of times these are good lawyers who are going to do good things on the bench, just like you had Nicole Kaskis. She and I graduated from law school together, worked at the law library for many, many years together.
Yeah.
And she's a sweetheart, and she's just an awesome lawyer.
Yeah, she is an awesome lawyer. She's done everything. You know, that's what I think we should do that, you know, because we should do this, I should say. The cycle's coming up. There's going to be in this term, you know, a lot of district courts, a lot of circuit court judges. We should put a show together and a panel coming up behind the bench of handicapping or telling the listeners, you know, the upsides and downsides of who's on the block. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. And see, you know something? I put the responsibility on you because, you know, you have a great listening audience. You know, you have people who are thirsting for knowledge, thirsting to, you know, you think about it. I think the demographic of your listening audience, a lot of professionals, a lot of working people who are at the end of the day who want to be filled with some kind of, you not only be entertained by, you know, an excellent lawyer and friends that he knows, but you know, that information I think would be invaluable to them. It completely would. I would do anything to support that with you.
We'll make that happen. We'll get a few of our colleagues. We'll get Weaver, you, myself, a few of our colleagues, and run through the list when the election cycle comes up. So, you know, I think that's it's really important. And then, you know, obviously, you're not going to find a better prosecutor than Kim Worthy. I know she's, running again, but, we're going to have some other prosecutors that are going to be up for election. We should probably, we'll look at that as well. But it to me is, besides jury duty, your voting is right there, right? And you can't complain. Absolutely. Can't complain unless you get out there and do it. So,
and voting's so much easier than jury duty.
Yeah.
As you and I sit here, you know, we would pay a lot of money just to sit on a jury to have that experience. Because, if we got in the jury pool, they're going to throw us out anyway.
And yeah, they always do.
You know, it's a certain sense of magic that occurs when 12 people who don't know each other, or in a civil case, 8 people who don't know each other, they have to get together. And they're from all striations of life.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get together to come up with a decision. And, up or down. That is so much, you know, the interpersonal relationships that are formed for that brief period of time. Magic, man.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. So I know you are running. I see you, in the parking lot running from one direction to the next direction. What's new on your plate? What's keeping you up, if anything?
Well, I it's interesting because you've done this for many, many years. I just last week was appointed, we won the RFP for the city attorney for Inkster. And I'm the new
city attorney. Wow. You're going to be the new city attorney?
Yes. And
awesome.
Awesome. You know, I'm excited about some of the work. You know, they've got, you know, obviously what you and I have, we've cut our teeth on criminal cases. But, you know, as you expand, you know, we learn the world is much bigger than criminal work. And, you know, this is it's some awesome work that the city has as far as some litigation that's ongoing. And, you know, I got some big shoes to fill and David Jones, who left, and
right,
now he's a general counsel over Great Lakes Water
Authority.
Just
spoke to him. Yeah, that's exciting for him.
Yeah, so I'm excited for him. You know, I reached back because, you know, I called David up. I said, you know, I'm going to be calling you on a regular basis, you know. So
he's going to be pressing the ignore button. Yeah, a message. Can I call you later?
he told me, he said he's going to take me out to lunch, you know. And, you know, David's like you. You know, he's going to make sure, you know, the work that he's done continues in the city that, you know, I think he grew to love that city, you know.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I did it in a couple of municipalities, and I got to tell you, it's a great gig. It's a tough gig, but it's a lot of hours, but it's really rewarding. And I got to tell you, you know, I see you. You know, one thing about us is we've tried so many cases, and we go over to the civil side. And now we do the civil side, and it's a different ball game. But the fact of the matter is that they don't try as many cases. And the experience that you have, you and then now doing this, and you've represented, you've been in the city municipality work, but doing that big of a job and transition, it's a lot. But you know, the experience you have, you're well suited, you're well built for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have my team and I were, you know, we've brought on some new lawyers to because you know it's a bigger city than Highland Park.
Right.
You know, I think there's a lot. The mayor is focused on, you know, growing that city in a business way. Also, you know, to enhance, you know, the residents who are there, you know, because I think Michigan Avenue is an untapped potential for the city of Inkster. And
I'm excited about that.
All the opportunity.
My man, I got to tell you, I love you, brother. You are the man.
I love you too.
I'm gonna take you up. We're gonna put a panel together of lawyers. And we're gonna handicap, and when that cycle comes up, I think our listeners would love to hear who they should vote for, who the ups and downs are, at least with regards to some experience.
Absolutely.
All right, my man.
Keep up the show, man. You do an awesome work, man. I mean, on the show and in the courtroom.
It's all about having the right guests and the right people. So thank you, my friend.
Yep, anytime, brother.
All right. All right, we'll be back next time with Behind the Bench, and we have a great crew coming up next time with Behind the Bench. You'll be sure to be entertained and have a lot of laughs. So next time.